Okay, in theory, we're live.
We're live.
All Golly. Right.
In practice, the animate dead hasn't quite caught up with us yet.
Oh, can I relate to that?
Really?
I don't know what you're talking about. I definitely don't have that spell in my spell book.
And really, a necromancer is just a cleric who refused to give up. So,
as
welcome.
Evidenced by that one time with Amara, but Amara's not in this campaign anymore.
And multiple times with Daldane, but that's a different campaign.
That's a different campaign.
And she's not a cleric.
Nope.
No, but wouldn't it be great if she took a level or two in that?
It'd be interesting.
All right. So, welcome to Hit and Abyss. This is a homebrew 5th edition Dungeons & Dragons campaign. I am Crash. I will be your DM for the evening. And tonight we are joined by a ton of awesome people. We have Ellie, Eric, Io, Jen, Millie. What? Someone new? Yes! Cindy, someone who's not new to our campaigns, but new to this one. And Matt. So, this is the point where I sit back, mute myself, immediately after asking, what did we do last time?
Nobody remembers because it was several weeks ago.
It was a few weeks ago.
It's only 2 weeks.
Yeah.
We found out about Mizir's secret
arranged marriage.
Which is why I have a vested interest in nobody remembering.
you mean the soap opera Bombshell?
Oh, yes.
We sought out new life and new marriage proposals, or rather that one dude did.
Right.
And finally found them.
He's been on a 12-year mission to seek out new life and new marriage.
What was his name?
I don't remember.
I've lost it.
Andy.
Andy. Not Andrew. Andy.
Yes. I tend to name NPCs after famous artists. So,
okay.
Andy Warhol. And
Ooh.
The person who
or
you
Andrew
were...
Andrew Wyeth, right?
The person who there was a proposal for you to be betrothed to... is named Ansel, as in Adams.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And then we all had a big dinner, and I don't remember the rest.
Was there something else that you were planning on doing?
There was. We're going to travel somewhere to avoid the place from experiencing doom, TM.
Yes. Where are we headed to Plantain?
I'm not going to say anything. I'm just going to do this.
Okay, so we're going to pause the recap just so I can throw in this disclaimer. Remember, anyone listening, old listeners and new listeners, Eric is Puerto Rican. So the stereotypes that he throws out, he gets to because he's Puerto Rican. I will not be doing any of those accents because I'm not Puerto Rican, but he gets to.
And there are going to be a lot of them today.
The DM is sighing heavily. And regrets yes and. Also regrets letting players come up with their own backstories.
Yeah, you asked, okay?
I gave him a whole frickin' country.
Yes.
Yeah.
It is what it is.
Okay, Pat.
All right. As I recall, you actually were originally planning to go to Plantain first, but then the marriage proposal thing happened, and while Sanctimonious, an NPC with a penchant for fire spells, suggested that you split the party to kill two birds with two stones at the same time, for some reason the rest of the group decided that splitting the party was a bad idea.
Go figure.
Can't imagine why.
I have no idea.
Mm-mm.
It's his understanding that that always leads to success. It's a divide and conquer type thing.
Still not seeing it.
All right. Well, you have a wide variety of NPCs that can accommodate you and go with you on locations. You've got Peter, who is, what, 9 years old, 10 years old?
9 years old.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I don't think he's 10 yet, but...
He's going on 10.
He's working on it.
Like, when you're really little, whatever age is next in order is what you're going on, because you sound older when you say you're going
right.
on 10 as opposed to saying you're 9.
And especially then, if you're going on 10 because it's double digits now.
I know, right? And then you get used to just saying what your age is. There's a little bit of a hold back when you hit 39 and just stay there for a few years. And then when you get up into the 70s and 80s, you're like, but I'm going on 78. Mm-hmm. I'm almost 78 because, you know, you might wake up dead the next time and then you wouldn't be going on anything.
I used to work retail, and I would have people come up and tell me how old they were proudly, and they were at least 78 or so. You know?
Yes.
That all works. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, you also have Katie, who is not actually an NPC, and that's not actually her name, although no one in the party knows that. All the players know this. That's Tom's character.
Oh, yeah.
He cannot be with us tonight. Unfortunately, he has not left the group. He just has other things in real life takes precedence. But Katie is going to opt to catch up with you later. She's considering taking up Naylith Academy's offer of becoming a student there. She's going to sit in on a few classes to see if she likes it. I'm pretty sure no wacky hijinks will ensue from her doing various methods of mischief.
None at all.
No. Yeah, so far as you know.
At least none that are our responsibility.
Yes.
This part is true.
Yes.
By the way.
Yes?
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt you.
No, you go first.
I thought you were done. I was just going to step back a step in the conversation because I arrived back at my microphone right at the end of the age discussion. And I just wanted to say that this is the very last D&D game of my 30s.
Oh, yeah.
Congratulations, maybe?
And condolences, whichever is applicable.
I turn 40 in 4 hours and 11 minutes.
Happy tomorrow day.
Ooh, I still got a month and a half.
It's not so bad.
So you're really youngin' then.
Yeah, by a month and a half.
There you go.
I'd make a get off my lawn joke, but there's two people in this conversation that are definitely older than me. So
older than you.
I'm hitting that half century mark at the end of the year. So
I'm not quite there yet, but I'm getting there.
I'll send you a walker.
Yeah, there you go.
But you're going to send it back to me in a few days.
Yes, of course.
I think I'm launching here.
I like that I'm rounding out my third decade with D&D.
That's nice.
Nothing wrong with that.
I think I did.
You probably did, I'm guessing.
10 years ago, I'm like, I don't know what I was doing. I don't remember what I was doing 2 months ago, let alone 10 years ago.
Well, if you're going to turn 40, you might as well do so while living in a fantasy world.
Of course.
Yep.
Why not? Yep.
Even if it's filled with doom, TM.
All right.
Okay. So much.
Let's go visit ourselves upon some Platinos.
Okay. Well, they did send word ahead, and Eric, they let you know that you're going to be meeting up with a member of your family when you arrive. So you're not going to be crashing any parties. They're expecting you.
Okay.
And you go to the same teleportation circle on the ground floor of the academy where you've been before, and you all hop on. Peter is coming with.
Oh, good.
Because he gets to take Mutt with him.
Yeah.
And when he's staying in the academy, Mutt isn't allowed in the structure. He's got to be kept in the stables with the other animals. But this way, Peter gets to hang out with Mutt, so he's quite happy to go with you. And the spell is cast, and you are suddenly all a lot warmer than you were before. It is also very, very humid.
How does this compare to the orc lands? Because Unk has been there for a while.
It's the same latitude.
Okay, so I'm fine.
Yeah.
This feels like fine. Home.
Eric's fine. Sanctimonious is doing okay. Sanctimonious and Bryn are both from the Free Cities. Different cities, but the Free Cities, which are kind of far north. Which this whole continent, north means close to the equator. So you're not doing too bad. Also, Sanctimonious.
But I'm wearing an empty cloak.
Every now and then it flaps to let some cool air circulate in. And then it realizes there's no such thing here.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, I appreciate the effort anyway.
But you are not necessarily in a room because it doesn't have walls, but there are pillars spread about that are holding up a bit of an awning. You are on the top floor of the roof of a building that has a great view of the city around you. You can see ocean off in the distance in more than one direction. You know from looking at maps that you're actually looking at the inner sea in one direction and the outer sea in the other direction. Plantain is a country that is narrow enough that in certain places you can see both. It's kind of like going to certain locations in southern Maryland, in fact. I would say Florida, but there's parts of Maryland that are skinnier.
Yeah.
If you've ever been to Point Lookout. But in any case, and in a totally different direction, there's actually a mountain off in the distance, which you might be aware of because Eric may have talked about it on more than one occasion.
And all the way here.
When bragging about his homeland, that's Mount Plantago. The most majestic of mountains.
Oh, no, the things we used to do in there, I tell you.
Please don't. We'll believe you. It's fine. Really, really. Mm-hmm.
Is there anyone here who knows how to conjure up some ice?
Let's see. Can I do that?
Because I am already soaked through.
Oh, the best I could do is create water.
Yes, but I believe it'll be we have just humidity as warm of as 95%. Yes. I don't think that's going to help much.
Ulfgar can make some ice with prestidigitation. I could chill water, or I guess freeze it, perhaps. Or use Ray of Frost to freeze the water. That would probably be a little overkill, but...
Yes, I'd appreciate if you didn't cast Ray of Frost at me.
No. I mean, aim at the water to freeze the water.
But how long will that last, though, in this heat?
I don't know.
I mean, I don't mind the heat, but I know most of you seem to, so... You can try.
And the GIF game has started.
Yep.
Or has been going on for some time, whichever. Now, there is the sound of rapid footsteps, and Eric, I would like you to make a dexterity save.
Okay. What's my dex save? Oh, there we go.
That's a dirty 20.
Dirty.
So, you do not lose your balance when you are hit by a projectile that's about half your size.
Oh, what happened
which,
here?
After... The initial shock of being assaulted in such a way, you realize that this projectile is shaped very much like your younger sister.
Lilia! ¿Cómo está, hermana?
Yeah, again, the DM is not going to be doing any accents. just imagine that she does have an accent. I'm just personally not going to be the one to do it. I am way too German and Irish heritage to do that. I burn in the shade. But in any case, she punches you in the stomach. You don't feel a thing from it. She is not a strength-based character.
I would like you guys to meet my little sister, Lilia. Her name is Lilia Perez. She is a practicing warrior.
Oh, hello. I'm Anka. I am a cleric.
Always a pleasure to meet a friend's family. I'm Bryn.
Greetings.
Lilia unhands Eric. And puts her hands behind her back and has the most charming of smiles and greets each of you in turn with a welcoming smile. She welcomes you to Plantain. It's such a glorious city. And then she punches Eric again and says, why did you have to leave?
Oh,
it was so boring without you.
I couldn't help it. I was at the bar one time. And then after that, I wasn't at the bar anymore. I met a bunch of these people. Look, it's a long story. We'll talk about it later.
Yeah, well, you should have been back yesterday.
Well, I'm here now.
Yeah, but you weren't here yesterday.
What happened yesterday?
She, give me an insight check.
Okay. I've got an 18, and insight is plus 3.
Okay.
21.
So she doesn't actually answer you with the words. She just gets a smile on her face. And the 18 and the 21 both reveal... Like, you are both aware of the fact that...
Oh, no.
That smile means, I know something you don't know, and it's going to be much more fun to see your reactions when you find out about it.
Lilia, what are you hiding?
I want to be clear that the 21 was Unka's 18 plus 3.
Oh, okay.
It well, still works. How old does Lilia look?
About 12.
I am sorry. Lilia is 12.
12. Okay. So Unka's been watching enough children now where she understands this smile, and she's just going to smile back and let it go.
Well, in any case, big brother, Dad probably wants to talk to you.
Okay. We'll go see Perez. Sorry, guys. My father is Perez. Perez. I know it's kind of confusing, but it's the first and last name of the same. He is the Lord Commander of the Royal Guard here in Platin. And anything he has to say, just go along with it. Very, very stringent guy, but he's very, very professional. So we can go see him anytime.
Okay.
I can honestly say that I will pay attention to whatever he has to say.
Sometimes Eric says he's got a stick up his...
You'll stop that now.
Shoe. Stick up his shoe.
We'll go with that.
Yes.
Good. I'm glad you are. Okay. And you all head through an archway and down some stairs. And as soon as you get out into the city, it's what you would expect a city to look like. It's full of people going around, minding their own business. There are large people who look like they're sewn together from various corpses standing around. There's people who look like dogs in armor that are laughing at each other.
Corpses?
Oh, yeah.
Can we move back to the people who look like they're sewn together from various corpses? Because I feel like that bears going back to.
Don't worry about anybody here around here. We'll just go where we need to go. Everybody's friendly. This is a wonderful port. We'll be just...
What happened to them? They look like they need to be healed.
We'll talk about that later. Don't worry. Everything is going to be perfect.
Are they dead?
Famous last words. Yeah. They need to be healed. I got an axe. That'll heal them really fast. Especially if they've been walking around with multiple bodies.
Please, no need to worry about them. We accept everybody here in Plantain. We're very... diversity, I think
I
said.
You didn't answer my question.
What? I did. Don't worry about it.
That's not an answer. Are they undead or aren't they?
Yes and no.
How can it be both?
Undead is already a yes and no.
Well, Lilia, then I guess he's answered the question.
Lilia, who was kind of leading the party towards your destination, just... looks back over her shoulder and says, they're golems.
They're what now?
Oh, okay.
Yesterday, they were kind of evil.
No, I'm
even more curious about yesterday.
How long have they been here?
You have aroused my interest.
So little backstory. We can stop for 2 seconds. Hold on, Lilia. This particular area has some little... cliques, if you will, you know, groups that like to hang out together. One of them is called the Society of the Empty. It's based on how can I put this? A lady, a wicked lady by the name of Altagracia. Yes, you can say it in your common tongue, Altagracia. It's really, really, it's a crazy story, but don't worry about it. Let's just say when I told you that warlocks and golems and things are normal around here, they are. However, I'm very curious about wondering why they're having other issues. So let's go see Perez and see what's happening.
He has not led us astray before, so I say we follow along and see what goes on.
Okay.
Yes.
I'll go with that.
Nobody else seems to have a problem with it, so if we're going to make a scene, let's do so in private.
Agreed. Yes, making scenes in public generally ends bad.
Well, the scary dog-like creatures that were laughing at each other, as you're walking down the street, you see one of them handing a flower to a little girl. So maybe it's okay, but I have a strong suspicion that Eric might tense up when he sees that.
again, we're just going to go see Perez and see what's happening.
I guess they're sort of cute after all.
In a mangy kind of way. And some of them are still covered in blood.
Well...
I forgot to mention the blood. Sorry.
Anka's starting to wonder if these dogs are the reason that there's undead walking around here. Warlocks who raised them? I don't know.
Okay. So you are taken close to the palace. You don't go into the palace. There is a structure that is outside the palace walls that from the outside it looks to be some type of barracks. On the inside of it there is a huge courtyard, and there is a collection of people wearing various amounts of armor. It doesn't look like all of them were getting ready to go on duty, but they're all standing around. Some of them are leaning on banisters. The banisters seem to be more for show. They're low to the ground. They're not really blocking you from like falling over the edge of anything.
Unless you're me.
Or me, but let's not go into that particular story. They're a visual divider between the covered area of the courtyard, which is a ring around the uncovered area where the sun comes in. And Eric, you see your brother in the middle of the courtyard. He's not wearing any armor. He is holding a club, which effectively it's a club. It's supposed to be a practice sword. It's shaped like a sword, but it's made of wood. And he is up against a person that you've never seen before. Cindy, how would you describe your character?
Well, she's fit because she spends multiple hours doing martial arts every day. She's got long hair that's, you know, she washes it, but she doesn't seem to do too much other maintenance on it. She's wearing weird slippers and traditional-looking robes, although obviously not local.
Okay. And there is obviously some form of sparring match going on. Now, I'm going to house rule this because I'm not going to play out an entire combat scenario at this point. But just give me a d20 roll.
Cool.
All right.
I honestly don't know how to pronounce Cindy's character.
I think it's Fahim, but Fahim. For all the character names, I just hit random until I get something that looks nice.
Okay, so Fahim. All right. So that's a 14. I'm going to roll on my end. All right. So as the party enters the area where you can see what's going on in the courtyard, you get to see Eric's brother. And Eric, how would you describe your brother?
So out of character, he's a paladin. So he already has he's a fighting paladin, not a healing paladin. He's a fighting, has some healing ability, but he's more fighting paladin. He's about 6 foot tall. He's not a muscular man, really lean, really, you're thinking somebody who has a lot of endurance basically. But muscular to a muscular, but not like superly over crazy. He has brown hair, a little bit long brown hair, brown eyes, and a great goatee with a little point at the end of it. That's about as good.
All right. So you come in just in time to see this monk do a flurry of blows against your brother, and they connect, they hit, but he kind of shrugs it off. He blocks a few of them with the club, but not enough of them. But that allows him to get in close enough to grab this monk by the wrist, and he does a spin, and the monk ends up in the bleachers, so to speak. There's no actual bleachers, but imagine, if you will, the audience is now taking a seat where they didn't originally intend to be taking a seat, with a monk on top of them, feeling rather undignified.
Let me give you a little some history about my brother. By the way, his name is Jason. You can call him anything you want. creep, crazy person, somebody who thinks his manhood is you know, just way too overexuberant. But he is our Olympic champion. We have an Olympic champion, Olympic Games that we do here, and he happens to be the last champion. So you can see his fighting prowess is very, very, very sustainable, very good. I idolize him to a fault, if you will.
And Jason overhears a good portion of this as he's walking over to the party to greet you, and he goes and I'm going to make an assumption that Eric has turned to the party to say all this.
No, he's looking at Jason and kind of okay. Like looking back and to the party.
Okay.
He likes to mess with his brother a lot.
Okay. What's your AC?
19.
All right, you are going to take 2 bludgeoning damage as he comes up and slaps you on the back. And says, "Eric, where have you been? We checked every bar in Plantain. We couldn't find you anywhere."
Look, I still don't know how I got there, Jason, but I was teleported away. I went through this place. Look, I'll talk to you later. This is just way too long of a...
He turns and looks at the rest of the group and says, "Yes, he got teleported away, usually by 10 in the morning every day."
Look, just some stuff happened in the past. We don't have to go there all the time. We don't want to talk about this run, my friend. But, okay, so what's been happening? Apparently, Lilia wanted us to go to see Paris to see what's going on. What's happened?
Oh. They probably want to talk about the fish people that attacked yesterday.
The what?
Fish people?
Wait a minute. You've been having trouble with fish people?
I don't know. I'm new here. But, yeah, yesterday fish people attacked this place.
Coming out of the sea?
Yes. I'd assume. I mostly just punched him.
Did it work?
You definitely should talk to Captain Perez of Perez.
Jason looks over at you with a conspiratorial expression on his face and he says, "You want to see one?"
Yeah, oh, that would be useful.
That would be wonderful.
Okay. Well, follow me. And he takes you further into the barracks and upstairs. Eric, you're familiar with the direction he's taking you. One of the various... meeting rooms, conference rooms, whatever they're used for usually. And you've got a pretty good assumption that he's killing 2 birds with 1 stone and also taking you to see your father. Because chances are he'd be in a place like this.
Yep.
So, Paige.
Yeah?
After the events from yesterday, you did show some prowess in helping out. And you, if I remember correctly, came here to this city to try to do some research, which we won't get into the details for that yet. I'll let that information be disseminated whenever.
Mm-hmm.
Usually when a big event goes down like this, for some reason, any ragtag group of adventurers is shoehorned in and given leadership roles. Go figure. I have no idea what's up with that. But that's apparently the standard. Well, we have this giant army, and we have a ragtag group of adventurers. Send them in. That usually works out. Unless they turn into murder hobos, but that's another story entirely. So you happen to be in the conference room with Perez, and a few other people who happen to be from the wizarding school and research facility that you actually came here to be at, but they maybe kind of have insisted you came along to take a look at this thing. I'm going to assume that Sai was in character.
Mm-hmm. This is wonderful.
Wait, do we have a third wizard now?
So far as you know. Actually, you don't know. All you know is that when you step into this conference room, you see someone who looks so much like Eric and Jason that you are certain he's their father. By the way, if his appearance says anything about it, Eric and Jason are going to age very well.
Wait.
He's still got a full head of hair. No. He fits in his armor.
I want to be 100% clear. Eric and Jason, but not Lilia?
Well, if Lilia grows up to look like Perez Perez, that's her ball of wax. She can do her. Her prerogatives. I'm not going to judge. It would be quite a transformation, though. So there's Perez there, and there are a couple other soldiers there, obviously wearing armor. Based on the conversation you had downstairs, there's a chance that some of them are paladins, although it's not always easy to tell just from looking at them. The armor is uniform. They're all uniforms, pretty much. But there's also some scholarly-looking people who you assume are scholarly because they are, of course, wearing robes.
And they all have... And sorry, just to add something to the look, they all carry massive, massive shields.
Yes, they all carry massive shields, even the guys in robes, which is a little awkward.
I don't usually have one. Like it's kind of uncomfy. Why do I have a shield?
but in all seriousness, there is also a person who's about the same height as Bryn, but they're a bird.
Bryn waves.
I can't talk.
So fun fact for all listening at home, this particular bird is a Kenku. Kenku can't speak on their own. They can mimic sounds they've heard. They can do it very well, but they have no language of their own.
It's true.
So this is the first time I am DMing for a Kenku character, and I am so looking forward to this.
So one thing I do know about Kenku is that canonically, if you've seen the first Transformers movie, like the first Michael Bay Transformers movie, they're allowed to do the Bumblebee thing.
Oh, yeah. But the thing is, none of you have said anything yet.
Right, okay, so there's nothing to imitate.
Her name is Paige.
Hello.
I've been traveling with her for a bit now.
So how does Lord Captain Perez-y Perez... Perez E. Perez or Perez A. Perez?
Perez A. Perez. So
Perez. It would be an A. Okay. I got it. Okay, so how does Lord Captain Perez A. Perez react to seeing us?
In the game, he wouldn't be really. He's very stoic. You know, he doesn't really show a lot of a lot of expression. He'll probably look, if I was to be the playing the DM off this time, my DM hat, if you will, he would be looking at Eric. He'd probably throw up an eyebrow like, yeah, you know, you missed whatever happened yesterday, and then go back to doing what he was supposed to be doing. That's pretty much what he would be like.
Gotcha. Yeah. Okay.
He raises one eyebrow. Eric immediately realizes that what the conversation was, where were you? We needed every hand on deck for this. You were not present. You let your family down. You let your dead mother down. You let your country down. We will have words.
I think that's going a little overboard, but I know what you're coming from.
Well, that might be how Eric feels about it. I don't know.
Yeah. If you were to see, go ahead and throw an inside check. Go ahead, and I'll tell you I'll tell you what Eric would.
Oh, dirty 20.
19 plus one is a dirty 20.
You can feel Eric sweating from the inside. Let's put it that way.
Oh, no.
Lord Captain, my name is Mazir, Baroness Kavreen. Your son Eric has been working with me for the past several months. What do we have here?
So far as we know, it's a fish person.
That looks like one of the ones we've encountered as well.
Nope, it doesn't.
Oh, it doesn't.
We encountered crab people.
No, you encountered crab people. You also did encounter people who had various fish parts.
People.
Yes, I remember now.
So I'll take that back.
But this is a different creature altogether. I would say that for the benefit of the players in this game who are familiar with World of Warcraft, imagine, if you will, a large murloc.
Oh, no.
Okay, I'll retract that. Wow. Fascinating. This doesn't look like anything we've dealt with. What can you tell me about them?
Yesterday they came out of the sea. Thousands of them. Just a veritable swarm. Threatened to overrun the city. They did manage to take a significant number of citizens back into the water before we were able to drive them back. We would not have been able to do that without... You've seen who's hanging out in the streets on your way here, I'm assuming.
Yes.
Yes.
I make a barking sound.
Yes, Funka exactly. is staring at the barking bird, wondering, what?
Apparently the Society of the Empty decided that as much as we don't see eye to eye, they're still part of Plantain. So, for the time, we're at a truce.
That's good to hear.
Not that I like it.
I wouldn't imagine you would, sir.
I shrug while I keep looking at the murloc.
By the way, this murloc has been neatly cut in half.
You're welcome.
Which direction?
Good question.
Top to bottom.
Cleft okay. and twain.
Indeed.
I'm going to take a look.
It has a staff alongside it. The staff has a large C-shaped hoop on one end that has a bunch of spikes on it that point at an angle towards where the hoop joins the rest of the staff.
As whoever said they were going to come look at it, I kind of not glare, but narrow my eyes at you like, excuse?
That is so very bird. Oh my gosh. That just really is.
Because, I'm looking at this thing. Excuse you? Excuse. But, Lord I don't Captain. Fight you. I just kind of make sure you know that I'm what?
Oh, wow.
It looks like a goldfish.
It kind of does.
For those who are listening to this, I have shared a picture of what the staff looks like. And yes, the end of it kind of looks like a goldfish.
A metal goldfish.
Mm-hmm.
Spikes on the inside.
Yeah.
Player knowledge has now come to the forebear.
Same.
It is not, in fact, bigger on the inside, though. It's just spikes on the inside.
That's a nasty staff, though.
Puppy, what does Matriarch Carves say about this? And has Alma seen this?
One second while the DM checks the notes for the very long list of NPCs that Eric has invented. And this is not me complaining. I am thrilled beyond belief that Eric came up with this because this level of world building means he's one step from DMing his own games. We accept you, one of us, one of us, one of us. We accept you, one of us.
Just to give you guys a little background on how we are doing this while he's kind of looking through his notes. I'll kind of go over it, and Perez will just kind of agree while I'm talking. So this is a matriarchal government. The head of Plantain is always a female. We don't have a gender bias in Plantain, but the matriarch, the one who bears the families, will always be the hierarchy, if you will. The hierarchy is run by Hyde Maitre Galvez. Her first name is Rafina. And then there's a kind of a head advisor, if you will. His name are Almer Lullen. He is a male elven sorcerer. Rafina is a female high elf paladin. Her mother was a elf. Her father was a human. There's some kind of rumblings on how the hierarchy goes between why the humans and the elves kind of really got together, if you will. However, this particular hierarchy was formed after a massive human and elven war that happened on this specific island as a stronghold, if you will. This island is now a major port in this part of Circulus. And when you guys were walking from the teleporter room all the way to where we're at right now, you should have seen dwarves and elves. Obviously the flesh golem was a thing, but you'll also see Goliaths
you'll see humans and everybody kind of works together on this port. This is a neutral site. If you do anything on this port that is of a crime, there is no hesitation that happens, and justice is swift and brutal in a holy way. Just kind of throwing that out for you.
Thank you.
That is incredibly detailed. Good job.
I didn't have to check my notes after that. Well, against my advisement, they're okay with it.
Okay, so how should we proceed, Father?
We? Right now, we can do nothing. I am under specific orders to not interfere. They are currently needed in case those fish people come back out of the ocean. We drove them off. We didn't kill most of them.
Which means they will probably return.
Yeah.
Back.
Well.
Have we a name for these creatures, other than fishmen?
You find that out, I would appreciate it.
Hmm.
Well, this will be interesting.
I am...
Yeah. I'm betting they don't speak any common language, or earth, I should say land-bound language. Did you happen to catch any live prisoners?
One or two, but they died overnight.
I wonder if they are unable to survive on land for long.
It's possible. Any attempts to communicate with the prisoners before they passed on most resulted in them gurgling at us. It didn't seem to be much of a language at all. Yes. The very disturbing bird person, no offense.
I'm doing the exact noise they made.
Mm-hmm.
But if it's words, yeah. I know a spell that could convert those words to language, to something we might understand.
I can copy their exact sound effects.
Oh,
one of the scholars
that's
in the room raises the hand and says, yes, I'm quite familiar with that spell. We did use it.
Yep. Oh, good.
It basically translated into a bunch of nonsensical screams.
So,
Very interesting.
Jason, do you know where they came from? Was it all around the island, or was it only in one specific area?
Yeah, did they focus on any area specifically?
The shore to the outer ocean. They came from that direction.
So that's north of the island, basically.
Yes.
Did their attacks have any sort of, for lack of a better word, strategy? Was it simply rush in, grab what they could, and return to the water?
It seemed to be that, pretty much, yes. If it had been a standard army, they probably would have been setting things on fire as well. Fortunately, they seem to live underwater. Fire is kind of foreign to them.
I would imagine so. So one they wouldn't
the
necessarily
scholars,
scorch and burn.
Sorry. One of the scholars snickers at the sentence of fire's kind of foreign to them and just mutters, not after we finished.
Yeah. They learned the hard way.
Sanctimonious looks over at that and says, I like the cut of your jib.
His approval fills me with shame.
Ulfgar awards you no points, and may God have mercy on your soul.
Exactly.
I'm singing a joyful tune under my breath.
Lord Captain, my understanding is that you have been ordered to hold fast.
More or less, yes. We're supposed to prepare and shore up for any possible return visit from the fish people. It's really bothering me.
And what actually needs to happen?
Mostly defenses are being built along the shoreline. We had some. They were very quickly torn down, either from sheer force or apparently some of them are spellcasters.
Let me rephrase that. If you had free rein, what would happen?
Every representative of Society of the Empty would be wiped off of the surface of this earth.
Yes, his feelings are quite strong about the society.
Regarding the fish people, what would happen?
Right. What would your strategy be against these people? Were you not constrained by your current orders?
Yes, exactly.
I'm not constrained against them.
I see.
But you are unable to take the offensive. I believe that is what we are potentially looking for.
I hesitate to think that they are a different threat from the Society of the Empty.
Ah, I see. Sorry to interrupt, but I'm not really familiar with the Society of the Empty.
I must also agree with my companion. I have not heard of this society.
Well, I can go into this crash for a little bit.
Your father kind of looks over at you with an expression that says you should fill them in.
Yeah.
Well, I actually please. Poke my head up for a moment.
Please do, Eric. Elaborate upon this Society of the Empty.
So, really quickly, it's going to be a long story, but I'll break it down a little bit. I'm not going to do the accent to the whole thing because it's going to be crazy and it's going to mess everybody up. So, basically what happened is Raphina, the High Matriarch, this has everything to do with High Royal Order. Raphina's mother passed away, which basically passed down the royal lineage to her. She doesn't want to deal with that. She doesn't want to deal with having a son or a daughter and being able to pass on like that. She'd rather choose. However, because it passed on from the mother to the daughter, and the mother had a sister that should have taken the mantle and didn't actually take it, the mother was Altagracia, the woman who is the leader of the Society of the Empty. That's so basically she's Raphina's aunt. She started this specific secret cult she is a warlock of the things that are raised to kind of an inner workings, to command the ports. Basically, you know how you have the mob, right? The mob. So that's kind of like what the Society of the Empty. They're like the mob of the port, but they're controlled they're controlled by a person, a Goliath barbarian named Arlok. He's kind of like the head mobster of everything around, which is kind of cool. And he controls the creeps, which are the flesh golems. He controls the hounds, which are also kind of society. Those dog creatures that you guys were looking at, those are actually gnolls. And then there's
the player wouldn't want to let, he wanted to let that explained.
Yeah. And then the freak, Eric's giving you all this information.
Yeah.
And then the freaks will be random Goliaths that you'll see kind of wandering around. And they're basically, Arlok's, men, but that's not really his men, his enforcers. But their outer shell, if you will, is they're just there to do business with the port and to do business with the areas. They don't try and cause any trouble with the royal family, even though Perez doesn't trust them for nothing. But again, and for Eric, or I would say for me as Eric the player, Altagracia has never done anything to him, and they seem upstanding in his eyes, even though but his father Perez doesn't trust him at all.
So he's chief of police and he's got a mob problem.
pretty much. Except again, they've never acted out
right
toward them.
Right. He's never, the mob has not acted out towards your father.
The royal family, correct.
The royal family, okay. Is your father connected to the royal family or is he just
no.
the chief of police?
Well, again, as of right now, no.
Okay.
But we can go back into history and kind of, you know, go there too. But as you write, as Eric and you know, as of right now, their family is not connected to the Galvezes at all. I mean, because, you know, they're elves and we're human. So,
right,
you know,
we're human. Yep. Okay, cool. I just want to, player wants to make sure he understands it. So, and they're not undead. We're seeing flesh golems.
Correct.
Okay. So, yeah, they look different. Obviously, they undead most of the time. They're not, they're stitched up, but they're not zombies. And that's what I think everybody was a little concerned with. But a quick arcana check or examination might quickly reveal no, these aren't undead. They're animated corpses, per se, in the fact that they're flesh golems.
Yeah, that's why Eric said.
They smell like formaldehyde.
They're Frankensteins, not zombies.
Right, yeah. Well, so, yeah, zombies have a smell of the grave. Formaldehyde is a little different.
Yeah, exactly.
The smell of the science experiment.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Today you're going to dissect a flesh column.
During that explanation, I took a few notes down, then went back to dissecting the body.
The fisherman.
All right.
Okay. So, is there...
I hope that helps you very much.
It does.
I'm going to exchange a glance with Ulfgar.
Yes.
Lord Captain.
Yes.
I am sure that you would not want to find out about an independent group performing investigations into the Order of the Empty and into the fish people invasion.
I am certain that there would not be any independent group. It would be beyond my knowledge and scope as a Lord Commander.
It absolutely would be. It absolutely would be beyond your knowledge. And I can assure you that if my retinue were to perform such an investigation, why, we would inform you at the earliest possible convenience so that you could tell us to stop.
I would likely entrust my son to stop any such investigations if they happen to take place.
Yes, he is a valued lieutenant, and I don't know what I would do without his counsel. And I trust him to tell me when I've gone too far.
The DM is tempted to have the rest of the party roll to bite their tongues.
Yeah, I'm just thinking about a few things here going,
is there any way... Hey, Crash, is there any way...
Superiors.
Crash, is it okay if I can have Jason break the ice?
This is your backstory, so...
Jason, you guys here, look at Jason. He is laughing his butt off right
now. He gets
I'm actively rolling my eyes.
And you just met him!
I know!
You're going to fit right in.
Since you're associate... And I gesture to Paige. Has information about the fish people, not in service of an investigation, simply in service of my own personal curiosity. May I borrow her?
As Mazir says this, imagine if you will, Paige is like elbow deep inside this fish person's guts.
Yeah.
Pulling out random organs that... is that a spleen? No, it's not a spleen. It's the wrong shape. Like, what even is this?
And like, oh, I'm picking up parts of the scale and just looking through them to see how the light reflects. You know, I'm having fun.
Really, sort of idly peering over her shoulder.
Yeah, and sometimes I hold up something to who's looking over my shoulder?
Bryn,
and I'm like, is this like, you know, this a spleen? You agree?
I don't know. I'll roll a medicine check. Maybe.
He shrugs his shoulders. Throws her hands up.
Good enough.
with a roll of a 6, you think that maybe that's actually something that this fish person ate for supper before the invasion.
Maybe it ate.
Yes, it's definitely not a spine.
So then, I whistle. I do a sad trombone noise. Wah wah wah. And I write that down on the notes for diet versus body. I have like a chart. I wrote down.
God. Yeah, Anka's taking another couple of steps back from what these two are doing. Just disturbing.
Peter, however, has taken a step forward. He's Anka's on the other side of the table.
Oh, no.
Now, Peter is kind of short. He's almost halfling sized, a little bit. Maybe a head taller than Bryn. And he's sort of like pulling himself up over the table and leaning over this thing, looking in and going, ooh. He's just reaching out with one finger to go and poke.
I make a soft hum and I kind of move my wing so he can look in better.
Lord Captain, you know the city better than I do. What would you recommend I use as a temporary home base while I'm here?
Well, there's any number of inns and taverns throughout the city. Eric can help you find one.
Perhaps one closer to the north side?
Yes.
Oh, I know all of them. We can go
every single
one. All right.
Yes, I'm very much aware.
Thank you for your time.
I need that glug, glug, glug sound.
His father has the, I'm not angry, I'm just disappointed.
And I certainly hope none of this fish person's belongings suddenly disappears as you walk out the door.
I wouldn't imagine.
Especially not the pouch that it was carrying with it.
Yoink!
Who would like to make the sleight of hand check?
I probably should be the one to do it, but...
You have more levels in Rogue.
Mm-hmm.
Versus everyone else's zero levels in Rogue. All right. Well, with a 17, Perez is not quite sure that you picked up on his hint until after you've walked out the door.
All right.
Okay, good, because if not, I was going to have to do something.
Ulfgar wouldn't have tried to be sneaky.
No, no. That yoink would have been in character, I'm sure.
Yes, exactly. Yes, exactly.
As you pick it up and hold it in front of Perez's face and then walk out the door.
You never saw this.
So, Perez, I don't have a complete handle on Perez, the character, yet. So I'm going to ask, do you wipe off your hands before you leave with the rest of the group?
Paige, no. I think.
Paige, I'm sorry.
Oh, me? Oh, sorry.
Too many characters with P's in their names.
I do. I do a nice little, you know, thing. Bird feathers are good at getting liquid off. I do a quick little shake.
Oh, my gosh.
Press the digitation.
So we know how this ends.
Like, suddenly clean.
We know how this ends with prestidigitation. Everything's going to be clean. But give me a dexterity check anyway. Give me a d20 roll and then add your dex bonus.
Me?
No, Paige.
Oh,
and just so you know, your dex bonus on your character sheet is a plus 2. So whatever you roll, you're going to add 2 to it.
Okay, what dice
is D20?
D20 plus 2.
Plus.
Oh, nat 20.
Nice.
Okay, so.
Oh, that was Ellie. That was Ellie.
That was Ellie.
That was me, but Millie can take it if she wants.
Oh, sure. Sure. I won't say no.
Let's do a real roll, though.
Okay.
That's how we learn.
Mm hmm.
I, like, literally had it typed out, and then that went, and I was like, okay. Okay.
Oh, sorry.
Nope, I did it wrong.
You gotta put a slash R in front of
follow
it.
Follow the template if correct. You can read it.
Then R, oh, I got this. I will learn it. And then D20 plus 2.
Mm. There you go. Oh, okay. No.
So everyone in the room wishes that I had allowed Mazir to get the nat 20.
Oh, no.
Paige does a quick flick of the wrists to get the blood off and the ichor and the various fish fluids. And you were aiming towards what was the equivalent of a chum bucket under the table.
Oh, no.
And because it's not a natural one, a significant portion of it does get in there. But also right across the Lord Commander's face.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
Now's the time for that trombone.
Followed by Bryn's prestidigitation, he just turns towards Bryn and says, thank you. And then he turns to everyone else
don't
and says,
it.
You might want to not get started on the investigation that isn't happening.
Yes, the investigation that isn't happening certainly will not start as soon as isn't possible.
Just please get out of here before this headache gets worse.
Wah, wah, wah.
Yes, sir. Let's shepherd everybody out of the room.
Yeah. Okay.
And
take our 1 hour break.
Because I realized I made a faux pas.
Oh, this is
so
glorious.
Crash, we've been playing for about an hour.
Yes, we have. And I'm glad you said that because that makes a wonderful segue. We are going to take a 5-minute break and we will come back in a different location. Well, same stream location, but different in-game location.
Woo-woo!
Yay! All
same
right,
bat time, time same bat channel.
We're back.
Yay.
We're back.
Well, I'm back. You're front. Eric's coming in from the flank.
Guns blazing, man.
It's just a jump to the left.
Inspiration. Okay. So, with that said, the party has walked out the front door of the barracks. I will let you decide if you are a bit more uneasy about the flesh golems and Goliaths and dog people that you can see within eyeshot of the front door of the barracks. But you do see several of them poking out here and there amongst the throngs of people that are walking around.
We have a job.
Also, just so you all know, the second we left the building, you know, just because I'm polite, the second we left the building, though, I turn my staff into a snake and walk around.
Magic is fine.
I just want you guys to know there's a python around my neck. I just kind of like him there.
Honestly, if you're not dressed and acting like a monk, Fahim probably doesn't have enough context to know whether or not she should be uncomfortable.
I'm not sure where I lie on the gnolls running around as muscle.
Fun fact, gnolls were not originally native to Circulus. They only started showing up maybe about 10 years ago.
Yeah, okay.
Oh. Stowaways on the Flying City.
Yeah.
No, before that.
No, before that.
Maybe before that, yeah.
Yeah.
Hmm. All right, I'm going to send my familiar up to scout around the area.
Ulfgar probably has not seen one before.
See what's going on.
What about the pouch?
Could you scout low down?
What about the fishman's pouch? Let's take a look at that, too.
Oh, yes, that's a good idea.
Well, the DM's just going to casually point out that you are in the middle of the street. Matter of fact, no, the DM's not going to point that out. Sanctimonious is going to say, do you really want to open that in broad daylight?
I am not going to open it in broad daylight. I am going to hand it to Ulfgar. And let Ulfgar make the decision.
Yes.
Is there a convenient dark alley?
Yeah,
look, I'm saying maybe we can find an inn or something with a conference room that we can attend.
Actually, this is what we can do. We can go to there's a beach north of where we are, where we can analyze the site where they came in, and there's a great inn next to it called Bongo's Tavern. It's wonderful. Pineapples on the top. It's great. You see it. You see coconuts, trees everywhere. You can get some. We're not a big fan of water. We drink a lot of coconut milk or coconut water. Perfect place to go hang out and have a good time. And I know the bartender. She's very nice. She really is.
But do they serve that pina colada you told me about?
Oh, do they?
Right. Well, lead the way.
I sigh and shake my head, and I look at my snake, and he also shakes his head, and we follow them dejectedly.
They may serve pina coladas, but I don't particularly like walks in the rain. If that's part of the parcel, then I'm going to
take a pass.
Bow out.
You already avoided a dating scenario, so I think you're in the clear.
That's true. That's true.
And that's canon. He wasn't really looking at the time, so, you know, it all worked out. It was mutual.
Yeah.
You decided to just be friends.
Friends with benefits. Fishery
political
benefits.
Like trade agreement benefits.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly.
Like tax benefits?
Maybe. Depends on how the trade goes, I guess.
Yeah, they won't have any tariffs.
Mm. Yeah. Tax benefits.
Open borders.
Topical. Mm. All right. So you get to an inn that is stationed right on the boardwalk, and the top half of it appears to have been constructed to resemble a giant pineapple, but there are windows poking through in various locations, and the lower half just looks like a normal, like, beachside resort-style inn and stuff. There are walls where huge portions of them can be propped up, like they're giant windows, but there's no glass or anything in them. Just provides more shade and allows the cross breeze to go through. And there's tables that are outside and inside, and there's various people who are just, you know, relaxing, hanging out, chilling. They're on vacation. There is a sea of Hawaiian print shirts, and I'm going to say that only Eric, the character, has seen Hawaiian print shirts before. Probably. But this is...
He's usually wearing one, but as of right now, he's not still.
No, now he's wearing armor, I'm sure.
That's right. That's right.
Yes.
Oh, I want one of those. You know, someday.
Crash. There's a store, like a tourist store. You can go in and get it.
Oh, there are several kiosks you walk right past. And one guy who's trying to sell them out of what looks like a suitcase. He keeps looking left and right. And when he saw Eric, he kind of went to close the suitcase real quick. And then he recognized Eric and he opened it back up again.
Eric would like to go to the bar and he would like to take his usual booth right next to the big tiki statue. The top tiki is a gnome. The middle tiki is a orc who's upside down, the head. And the bottom tiki is a Goliath head. You guys can kind of tell the difference between all three of them. He would like to get a pina colada straight away. He also asks if you guys would also like one.
Sanctimonious is definitely taking one. By the way, there is a group of bards that are playing music, but they're playing a copyrighted song by Disney that's about a tiki room. And...
Yes.
And that's going to be in your head for the rest of the campaign.
Yeah, it probably is. Oh my gosh.
Their next set includes a song about a baby shark.
No!
Oh no! That one comes up a lot in the other campaign.
At which point,
put on the show.
When they start singing the baby shark song, slices of pineapple and lemon start pelting the stage.
Oh no!
Look, this place is wonderful.
That whistle was for my good friend Fritz.
This place is wonderful. You guys can get rooms. Don't worry, it's on me. Oh, they're on the back over there. Just tell the bartender what room you're gonna take. And then there's a big old giant room we use when we're slicing pigs open. You know, we kind of do like a thing where you take the pig and you put it under the ground. You put some leaves over it. It's really, really good. But what we do is we put all of them on there. So it's a massive table. You can do that. Enjoy. Now, there are knives. Be careful of one specifically. This knife right here has cut through people when they like to play the game. They use it specifically for this game. So what you do is you take your hand, you put it right on the table, and they take this knife and they bounce it all over the fingers really, really fast. So what happens is it's great. Now the problem, it's really, really sharp. I've seen many, many fingers be cut off. Even if they think they're missing it, they actually hit it. So be careful with that one.
I am listening very intently.
Elka's getting ready to use healing spells.
the DM. Yeah. The DM has realized something horrible.
Uh-oh.
We have introduced a new character whose specialty is copying sounds that it hears.
Yes.
The DM is terrified.
Oh, we're going to hear an echo of everything.
The DM has
Eric
failed his inspiration check. Or his intimidation check, rather.
Anka would like one of these fancy drinks and is getting prepared to possibly also cast silence if needed.
Now, please, you guys do what you have to do. I'm going to be right here.
Ulfgar will take his drink and find a room and go to examine the pouch.
Okay.
Wazir is going to go to the bar.
Anka's going to follow so she can get a fancy drink.
That's a nice going to be
a
good
looking for a fancy drink. Mazir is going to say every room available on that guy.
I pull out my piece of paper because I have like my notepad and such, and I quickly write down say the room numbers out loud.
they're all done by it's Spanish only, so or it would be basically Spanish only. So instead, it wouldn't say one, it'd be uno, so U-N-O, and then go from there all the way to...
Say room uno.
She can only mimic sounds, remember? She needs someone to say the number so she can repeat
it. I start saying that, and I summon my fairy companion.
So the 10 rooms on the first floor, they're all owned by the Perez family, so it doesn't matter what you get.
No, but still, I summon my fairy, and I go, and I can talk telepathically to my fairy. And so I tell my fairy to say, room uno, please. I can't talk.
You have to be careful, though, because if you have uno, there's a pretty good chance that someone's going to make you draw four.
Yeah, that's true.
Like, the thing is, like, I'm just sitting there, I'm like, I just want a room. I just want
a room. I want to confirm with the host and the bartender that, in fact, Eric is not pulling the wool over our eyes.
True. I still have my fairy ready to give my room number once we confirm this.
Let me see. I'm trying to figure out if I should. How should I?
You don't have to name every NPC and.
No, I don't. But I'm trying to figure out. There's a couple ideas I had. Right. Okay. So there's a gnome, a female gnome. She's dressed up in looks like a hula. And if you look at the back of the bar, I don't know who's taller. You can see the back of the bar.
Okay, it's actually probably taller.
Okay, so Anka can see the back of the bar. There's actually a platform where she walks. Now, mind you, it's not the floor, but it's big enough so she can actually serve drinks. And when she serves a drink that people would grab in one hand, she's tiny enough she has to grab in two hands. But she's really, really quick. She's really, really great with the drinks. And she has a wonderful blender. It's like a hand crank blender where she uses to crush ice. And she kind of moves her hands up and down. And it's really, really funny seeing it. You know how they have those the back in the day on the railroads, they used to have two people sitting. It looks like a seesaw. The hand used to go up and down. Well, that's kind of like what she's using to crush the ice that she she puts the ice in the ice in the cup and stuff like that. But she handles everything. Her name is Brenda. So whatever you want to do.
So Archbeth in chat she got very close because here's what she typed while you were describing this. Brandy, you are a fine gnome. What a bartender you can be.
I don't even know what was... I don't even see it, so...
So, glorious.
Hope that person gets inspiration.
She's gotten it before.
She already has it.
She hasn't spent it yet.
Well,
I've tried to give her inspiration twice.
Brenda tells everybody that this particular part of the... places where they like to hold their annual contests and celebrations after the Olympics and any type of like foreign things the prizes do. So instead of having to actually pay for it, they decided to buy this particular part of it. So this bar right here. Now there's a second floor to this, and they use that for like private parties, but that's owned by another person. But this first floor is all the prizes.
Okay.
So this is on the outer rim, right?
Correct, the northern rim.
Okay. I'm going to go out to the beach and start investigating and see what I can tell about the fish people invasion.
Ulfgar will try to take room number 4 and begin to look at the contents of the fishman pouch.
Bryn looks wistfully towards the fancy drinks and then goes with Ulfgar.
I'm going to tell everyone I'm going to room 3. Please get me if something needs to be punched.
Okay.
The punch bowl's over there.
I have my Sprite. Give me room 2, or if that one's still open.
They serve you a Sprite.
No, I have my magic Sprite friend who is speaking for me because no one can tell me room numbers. I have a Sprite that's my familiar.
You can hold up fingers and point to the fingers.
That is true. So regardless, I walk over, I tell him I want room 2, I hold up my 2 fingers. And I,
they point you to an outhouse. They totally misunderstand what you meant.
Come on!
And then they laugh and say, and hand you a room key.
You know, I just kind of sigh, like, and then kind of as I walk to my room.
As you're going past one of the tables, one of the other guests just says, hey, a bird person, don't feel bad. They do that same joke on every single person who asks for room 2.
Yeah, the people in this tavern that you see, the tavern that you're in, they've seen your kind.
Oh, cool. Okay. But yeah, I do a very dramatic sigh on purpose, and then I continue singing "Christmas Time Is Here" as I want. As I want.
And Anka's waiting for the bartender to serve her the fancy pineapple drink that Eric was talking about.
You served a fancy pineapple drink with 2 umbrellas.
Ooh, thank you.
Oh, yeah, you got it.
And a sparkler.
And a sparkler?
Yes.
Like a firework sparkler?
Like the kind that you wave around on the 4th of July, if you're an American. That's sticking out of the drink, and it is currently on fire and throwing sparks everywhere.
Okay. Okay, so I'm going to hold the drink a little bit away from my face so that while this is going. I'm going to try to find where Peter went and possibly show this to him, because I know he likes sparkly things and prestidigitation and all of that, and maybe try to go outside with it.
Okay. When you find Peter, he is holding the exact same drink you're holding. Look what they gave me!
What? He's 2!
No, he's 9.
Yeah. Still too young.
There's no such thing as age. There's no such thing as age limit here in Plantain. So
okay, okay. Well,
yes, that's what he was told, and he's quite energetic about it. Your opinion might differ.
My opinion,
I imagine, will strongly differ.
Yeah. Of course, Anka's half orc, so she's not sure what alcohol does to humans exactly, other than Eric. She's seen that.
You know? Perhaps too much of that.
Yeah. I'm going to see if I can trade.
Sanctimonious comes over and he says, okay. Oh, what a fantastic drink. Here, let me see that briefly. And he picks it up and he sort of stumbles a little bit and goes, Oh, I seem to have spilt it all over the floor. I'm terribly sorry. I will get you another one. And he looks over at Anka, winks, and then walks over towards the bar.
And Anka hands Peter her sparkler to appease him.
Mazir comes back in the door, her face covered in sand, and says, Bryn, I would desperately appreciate a prestidigitation about now.
I think Bryn's with Ulfgar.
Yeah, they're up in room 4. Oh, she did go with Ulfgar.
Yeah,
but Mazir can't see.
Oh, no.
Oh, no. Okay, so I'm going to go over and tell Mazir where they've gone, and I can't lead her there because I don't know where the rooms are.
Okay, thank you.
These lovely drinks, though, if you're waiting.
The character with the highest passive perception is going to be bumbling around and bouncing off the walls because she has sand in her eyes.
So the thing is that I haven't fully left the room yet.
Ah, okay.
I don't have prestidigitation.
Nice.
The thing is that I do look at, who is it?
Mazir,
and I do kind of feel somewhat bad because, you know, you haven't made a muck of yourself yet. So I do use my awakened mind to, like, speak into your head going, okay, walk 10 pieces to the left.
Mazir is telling up to you what you do when voices start appearing in your head, giving you directions. You do have levels of warlock.
Okay. I'm your friend.
Exactly.
I've
got 2 levels in warlock. When voices start appearing in my head telling me what to do, I follow their instructions.
That is going to be an out-of-context D&D quote.
I give you the instructions to the stairs and help you up them so we can get the person who does have the precipitation.
I love the way the bird pronounces this.
Dude, thank you, Raven Queen.
I don't have to talk normally. Right. I don't do pronunciation.
Right.
Okay.
Look,
well,
as far as I'm, even if it's coming from Paige, the Raven Queen has sent me a bird to help me.
Wow.
Talk about your omen. Connection.
All right. So, Bryn and Ulfgar, you're examining this pouch. Give me investigation checks.
Woohoo. Something I'm good at.
Alas, I only have the bonus passive investigation, so that's not ridiculously high, but I still have the plus four, so... And I rolled a six, so that's a 10. I think I'm going to spend my inspiration. Oh no, that's a 2. Okay, I guess it's 10.
Okay.
That's all right. I have rolled a 14, and my investigation is a plus 6, so that becomes a dirty 20.
All right. Well, the pouch is full of a lot of shinies. Meepo would be pleased.
Meepo who?
Yes, right, exactly. Yeah.
This group doesn't know.
You may have heard stories, because apparently there was a bard going around for 10 years singing tales of adventurers fighting against an ancient green dragon that wanted to be a god. but I don't know if you totally know Daldane or not.
I'm not sure this can benefit me in any way.
Yes. Well, there's a few shells. There's a couple coins that look like they spent a lot of time underwater, getting washed around in sand. There is one stone carving that it is definitely worn a lot. It's hard to make out a lot of details that you suspect there used to be more details before it spent who knows how long under the ocean. And it was carved out of possibly sandstone, so it hasn't held up very well. It is of a creature that appears to have four legs, a very long tail, although part of it's broken off, so you're not quite sure how long. A very prominent chin. It looks almost lizard-like, and it has some horns sticking out of its head that curve forward.
Oh, no.
But it's not like any creature you've seen before.
Oh, no.
Bryn, you recognize this?
No, the player is recognizing it. The player has made a connection.
I know. The player thinks they know what to do. Oh, no.
The force is strong with this one.
Ulfgar's area of expertise is not divination. He is not good with learning things about things. He's better off protecting things from magic. But he will examine the rest of the components with a detect magic ritual just to see if there's anything inherently magical within the contents.
I don't suppose an arcana check might tell me anything about this creature.
Go ahead and roll one.
Dirty 20.
A dirty 20. Well, that is... The DM is going to have to decide how to reveal certain information now. First of all, it's not magical. You are all certain that it... Oh, maybe you're not certain. It's hazy. If it is magical, it's not technically a school of studyable magic. This is not something that you would go to Wraith Academy to... No, that's the wrong thing. Yeah.
Oh my. Well, we know we did leave. We left Katie there. We'll see when we get back what it's become.
So the changeling that is pretending to be a little girl named Katie, their real name is Raylis, and the name of the wizard academy that the party went to is Naylith Academy, a difference of one letter, and those names were derived independently of each other. One of them entirely randomly. I think they used the, I think Tom used the random name generator.
Yeah, I think he said he did, yeah.
Yes.
There's also a Caelith Academy somewhere.
And this has nothing to do with the fact that the players behind both of these happen to be brothers-in-law.
That's all.
Yep.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So the DM is amused by all of these coincidences. But this is... You don't think this is in your particular wheelhouse? There is some kind of power associated with this, but it's kind of like a residue. Like, imagine guilt by association, but with magic.
Right. There's essentially a small taint if you will, of something that Ulfgar cannot figure out. It's my guess it has more to do with the fact that whatever these creatures are, they have their own brand of magic, perhaps either from being under the sea for so long, or they simply, it's so alien to him being a landlubber that he just can't quite put his finger on it.
Well, I'm going to assume that the two of you are discussing this information, so both of you can also give me an insight check.
That seems fair.
It's a con magic.
I don't suppose, I have a high passive investigation.
It's a con passive insight.
My insight's pretty good.
Is Bryn the one who would be doing the cleaning of the eyes?
Probably.
Oh no, 9.
Because I would probably be knocking on the door sometime around now with a blind friend.
I got a 17.
Okay. So Bryn has the high arcana check, and Ulfgar has the high insight check. So congratulations. Team Wizard does it again. So this residue is not any school of magic, but there are other ways to power besides wizarding magic. It could be divine. Yeah. And right at that moment, there's a knock at the door with a sand-covered Mazir and a small burb person on the other side of the door.
Oh no, what happened? Prestidigitation.
So I do that, you know, that announcement. I wave my wings at him to be like, do something. And then I see the artifact you guys are looking at, and I just kind of go like, ooh.
It's more like a coin, isn't it? Or a disc?
It's a small figurine.
Oh, small figurine. Okay. Perhaps Onka should examine this. Maybe her, as a priest of X, if she can do her own version of detect magic, perhaps she might learn more.
I'm just staring at it. I want to look at it. But I'm not being rude.
Remember,
Mazir, as far as we know, has no magical talents.
So who here has seen Ghostbusters 2?
Yep.
Yo.
No.
Yep.
Okay, so those of you who said yep.
Yep.
Imagine, if you will, the various times in that movie where Ray was just staring at the painting and slowly edging towards it without realizing it. You're seeing this from a small bird person staring intently at the statue.
I will put my hand on the small bird person's shoulder once the sand has been precipitated off my face.
Once you don't need to roll at disadvantage to reach the shoulder.
Right. So small.
So I take it that didn't go well. Whatever happened.
I was examining what happened on the beach, and it turns out that when the tide is coming in, sand is slightly less stable than I had imagined.
I'm hiding my face behind my wing.
In my headcanon, your snake just takes the tip of its tail and lifts it up so it can hide its face behind the tip of its tail.
Pretty much. We're kind of mirror imaging each other.
My raven is probably doing roughly the same thing with its wing.
Well, don't worry about it. Could have happened to any of us. I wonder if it would be worth trying and identify on this thing.
Identify? It can tell us magical properties. I'm not certain that will do much good. If the magic is so faint and alien with our knowledge, I don't know if it will reveal much.
I kind of look at it, and I, like, kind of point at it and point at me.
Ulfgar's willing to hand it over. He'll hold it out and be like, all right, can't be worse than us.
So we already decided it wasn't magic, right?
Oh, it's magic.
If it's magic, it's really, really faint. We don't recognize.
Right.
If it's magic, it's magic that the wizards don't recognize.
Did they do detect magic?
Yes.
Okay, cool. Sorry.
I didn't catch you casting detect magic. You were doing an arcana check.
Oh, no, I said I was casting detect magic earlier.
When you cast detect magic, nothing of this
no radiation.
Just glows.
No glow.
There is something to it, but like I said, it's like guilt by association. It was associated with something. So there's a residue, but in and of itself, there's no power.
Right. Okay. Investigation. I'm trying to decide which. You know?
If the detect magic revealed no magical aura, yeah. Ulfgar would not want to do an identify on it because that's really used to learn any magical properties, etc.
Yeah. No, I just want to do like an investigation because I have a lot.
It will also tell you what thing is.
Because I have a lot of arcana, a lot of history, and a lot of investigation.
Yeah, you got plus 6 to investigation, so go ahead and do an investigation check.
Okay, so that's a d20?
Yeah, d20 plus 6.
So that's, is it slash r or r slash?
Slash r.
Slash r, 1d20 plus 6.
1d20 plus
6. Well, we could do that as a ritual.
Space after the r.
Slash r space, 1d20 plus 6. Sorry.
Yeah, we weren't clear.
Oof.
And 11. Okay.
Yeah. Not my best, but yeah.
It looks pretty.
Ooh.
It looks fearsome.
I like pretty things. I am a bird.
You kind of want to get a bunch of little figurines of various fighters and wizards and stuff and put them on the table alongside this thing and then arrange them like they're fighting each other.
I don't know how I have a feeling about doing that.
I am staring at it and my snake kind of just smacks me in the back of the head with its tail.
Bryn, I'm thinking maybe I'd identify at least might give us something on it. I don't know that it's got any properties, but we could learn perhaps maybe if there are any spells that had affected the item, or maybe it was created through the use of a spell, anything like that. I mean, it's worth a shot.
I hand it back sadly.
Okay.
I don't see anything particularly interesting, so I'm going to go back down to the Great Room. And I'll let Ulka know that
Ulfgar will do it as a
there's
ritual.
Something interesting upstairs.
You see Ulka, who may or may not have a drink. I will leave that up to that particular character. There is a very glum Peter who is nursing a milk. Because that's the drink that Sanctimonious got to replace the other drink.
Mm-hmm. So Anka's either halfway through her drink or on her second one.
I am going to pull Anka aside and lend Anka my tankard and say Peter can drink as long as it's from this mug.
Oh,
the tankard of sobriety.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Since Ulfgar is casting the identify and there's no point in Bryn also casting identify, she's going to start heading out towards where the rest of the party is as well.
I am staying and watching because I like shiny things. I'm here for the knowledge.
And the shiny.
Wolfgar will, if he's essentially alone in front of a bird creature that cannot speak, he will tend to go drop back to Dwarvish. So you'll learn a little Dwarvish.
That's fine.
You now know 3 different profanities in Dwarvish.
Yeah.
Is anybody out near the bar with me?
Well, Unca's in the room somewhere, but not near the bar anymore.
Okay.
Sanctimonious has 2 umbrellas tucked behind his ear, and he has an arm wrapped around Eric's shoulders. And he's like, but let me tell you, I got to tell you, I really respect you as a person. We don't get along all the time, and I get that. Sometimes I think you're kind of weird, but I think you're a swell guy. And he's down.
He said 2. Okay.
Well, if anybody goes out to the bar, Eric will be drinking his drink, and another companion has joined them, a dwarf fighter named Luvina. She is a warrior, but she has a soft spot for food. So she is making food in the bar. So if you guys would like some food, it is there for you.
Oh, now you just triggered
the smells are coming through the back rooms. Just so you guys.
A dwarven female who can cook. Ulfgar were not otherwise occupied.
Meanwhile, the gnome that was serving drinks is now opening a bidding war for what appears to be a magic marker while standing next to Sanctimonious.
Oh no.
We're up to 10 gold. 10 gold and 2 silver. Do I hear 10 gold and 3 silver? I do have 3 silver.
Okay, did anyone tell Onka about the thing that the little thing that's being examined? Doodad? Yeah, the doodad.
Ulfgar hasn't brought it out of the room.
Did Mazir tell Onka there that there's something? I can't remember.
I would have mentioned it.
Okay. So let's presume Onka's halfway through her drink and she's a half orc with a constitution of +2. Where does that put her on the scale of having had a drink?
Of drunk.
How many is this halfway through your first drink?
Yeah, I'm gonna assume that.
Oh.
You're fine, right? She's fine.
You're fine. Half-orc.
Okay. Okay, so Anka's going to go and find Ulfgar to see what this little trinket is.
Okay. Give me a religion check.
I've rolled a 4. And religion is +4.
+4.
Okay. So
you've got inspiration though.
Oh, I should use that. Yeah, I'm going to use it. I will do that. 16.
So that's a dirty 20 for a religion.
Okay.
Okay. This thing creeps you out.
I give it back.
That is. There is more information than this, but your initial gut punch reaction, your knee-jerk reaction is, this is a thing that you don't like being in the same room with it, and you're upset that someone in the party was carrying it around.
I am leaning forward.
I am backing away from the
out of
trinket
character,
as well as the bird.
I am so not surprised by this reaction. In character.
I roll with inspiration.
Yeah.
Roll. I regret rolling with inspiration.
Well, you know these campaigns by now. No good roll goes unpunished.
Yes, exactly. So I'm going to try to explain to Ulfgar and Bird. I don't know how much the bird's going to understand me because it doesn't speak. And I don't know what gender it is either. So I'm just like, okay, so this little thing, where did this come from?
From the fishman's pouch.
Oh, maybe that explains it. It's indescribably awful.
It is religious iconography. Things that are worshipped tend to acquire power. And this thing wasn't worshipped in and of itself. It represented something that was worshipped. So it's getting residual power from that. Almost like a reliquary, but it doesn't need to be like someone's finger shoved in a glass vial. It's just something else.
So somewhere Obim has is putting his hand over his face.
This is a holy symbol
of something.
I'm doing the fishman gurgle while clapping my wings.
This was it was a spellcaster we got this pouch from. This was its holy symbol. Okay. So this probably represents its version of a god.
Yes, but it's something awful. Just creepy, and don't you feel that?
Can't say I do, actually.
Well, you're lucky then.
Does the identify?
I'm not carrying this thing around in this pouch.
Well, I don't intend to
carry it. I'll carry it.
Well, what did the identify, if anything, reveal from it?
Nothing. Identify works on magical items. This is not magical in and of itself. Anything, this is like if you run water through a pipe, the inside of the pipe will still have some moisture. But the pipe itself isn't water.
Right. No, I get it. I just wanted to make sure nothing had like touched this in a magical sense from at least an arcane perspective. Ulfgar, with what Onka reveals to him, he's now convinced this is simply a holy symbol for the fishman. And so that particular fishman was some sort of priest or spellcaster of some kind. And this is a representation of its particular... an avatar of its deity or something, or the deity, whatever symbol it chooses to use. Onka, you worship a particular deity and they have a holy symbol, representation of the portfolio that your particular deity espouses. Am I correct?
Yes. It's a large disc it's unadorned. It's just a disc.
Right. But you channel the power of your faith through it.
Yes.
Okay, so that's what we're picking up here on this thing, this relic, this little statuette. It's a holy symbol, and so it probably channeled whatever abilities it had through it to either heal or harm its heal its allies or harm its enemies. Okay, so
it's really bad though.
Why don't we do this? Ulfgar will put it on the table and smash it with his warhammer.
I'm gonna head back out to the front of the what do you call this place? The pineapple.
Bungo Tavern, sir.
Okay, you could stop him. He's not holding his warhammer at the moment. I mean, if you want to interrupt him, but it's clear what he's going to do with it.
Well, if we break this thing, will it?
Wait, what are you doing?
If you break this thing, will it essentially call home?
It should.
Yeah,
if I were to smash your holy symbol, what would it do?
Smashing holy symbol?
I mean, a bird call, so people look at me, and then my snake kind of points to the outside. Like, maybe we should go outside.
I don't want to do it in the street, and I can't really do it on a beach.
Yeah, Wait a minute.
You know what? We will go out to the beach. We're going to play a new game.
Pound
I'm
sand?
See how far... Yeah, well, sort of. I'm going to see how far I can smack this thing into the ocean.
Well, that might be good.
If nothing else, it'll shatter into dust and land on the beach.
Okay, I will go with and watch this, and I will finish my drink in the process.
Are you sure I can't hold on to it?
I don't think it's worth holding on to.
At this point, you actually have two volunteers to hold on to it, but one of them can vocalize this more than the other one can.
Right. <Yeah. laughs>
Though the other one's nothing to do with
this.
It clearly
bothers Unka.
Mm-hmm.
I turned my sidekick into a cat, and I'm laying on it.
It clearly bothers Unka, and Ulfgar likes Unka. What he'd probably start to do is put it on the table, get his warhammer, and when she's clearly like, maybe that's not the best, this isn't the best place to do that, all right, he takes it, and he'll start to head outside towards the beach carrying his warhammer.
And I'm going to follow.
All right. Now,
I will too.
Me too.
Actually, yes, let's get rid of it. I have an idea.
Unka's worried again.
Unka's always worried, though.
This is true.
Usually with good reason, and often justified.
I take a moment while everyone's leaving. I kind of wait for a second. I look at what else was in the the bag and go, because I didn't see what else was in there. I just needed to know.
Right.
Bunch of shiny pebbles and seashells.
Yeah, I was like, those are pretty.
Whatnot.
Snake hits me again upside the head to be like, no, you can't take those. And I like sigh and go back after them.
Okay, so you're heading out to the beach.
Heading out to the beach. And we'll kind of take the warhammer, hoist it up in the air, and take a swing.
Okay. Give me an attack roll.
All right. That is a 15, and I am a plus... Where is my warhammer?
Where is my warhammer?
7. I'm a plus 7 for a 22.
Okay. Roll again, because you set it on sand.
No, I was tossing it up.
Oh, baseball batting it out.
Yes.
I misunderstood.
Yes, tossing up in the air, try to hit it with the hammer, hopefully smashing it into bits, if nothing else. Worst case, if it doesn't get destroyed, it'll get tossed back into the ocean.
Okay.
I have grabbed a drink at this point, and I am watching this while sipping.
Plot twist, it's a boomerang.
Yeah. Now that would make Ulfgar freak out.
Need to destroy it for my idea to work.
Okay, here's the setting. Now, right now, the beach is pretty much empty. It's the heat of the day. Everyone who's out and about is actually not out and about. They're somewhere shady, sipping something that probably has ice in it, or just like taking a nap. It's a siesta time.
That's okay.
You are alone on this beach, and there might be a few people looking out a window and wondering what these insane people are doing at the beach at this time of day.
With a warhammer.
Yeah, carrying a warhammer. Although a dwarf and a warhammer is not unusual.
Oh, no.
It's more using it.
So you toss this up in the air, and you swing around, and the DM has a question. Did you, in fact, point towards the ocean first to call your shot?
No, that's not his style. He's just like, whoop,
okay,
bang.
Here it is.
Because if I recall, your roll was a 22.
Yeah, it was a 22.
Yep.
The wizard got a 22 with a warhammer. I love this. Wow. I'm here for this content.
I am a dwarf with gauntlets of ogre power. I am not your average wizard.
No. A few little bits of shrapnel fly out in random directions, but the majority of this figurine flies at a glorious arc up high and off over the waves, and it's low tide right now, by the way.
It doesn't shatter instantly.
Well, parts of it shatter off instantly, okay. But the largest portion of the mass stays intact. It might be missing a horn or a foot now. But it's low tide, so when it's going, as you see it land in the ocean, you are aware that that area where it's landing is never going to be exposed to the air. That area is underwater all the time.
Yeah.
And
well, we can hope it won't throw things off.
It is far enough away that the waves don't break that far out, so anyone with a high enough passive perception can see the little spoosh where it hits.
What's high enough?
10.
Okay, then I can see it because I have passive 13.
There's nothing else here to distract you.
Yeah. Okay.
We're on the beach and we watch it fly into the air and it lands in the water and be like, okay, it's gone.
Okay. Yep.
And
I still feel creeped out by it or is it better?
It was a proximity and an eyesight thing. Both of those were bad. It is now out of sight. Not quite out of mind, but definitely out of sight and very far away from you, thanks to one dwarf with a warhammer and gauntlets of ogre strength.
Okay.
So you feel a little better.
Okay.
You probably feel better if you didn't know the thing existed.
Yeah. It feels awful. A bit better.
And here's the thing. You have, it over your life, encountered the iconography for other religions. There are other clerics you've met. I mean, one was traveling in the party with you for a while, and she didn't really creep you out. Well, the time she tried to make an ogre zombie, that creeped you out.
Yeah, that was not...
That might have been a bridge too far, and the fact that she was trying to make the ogre zombie while you were crossing a bridge...
I think that episode was called The Bridge Too Far.
I think it was.
I think it was. Because of that, actually. Because that was happening from the end of one session to the beginning of the next. But, like, day-to-day activities, they didn't creep you out, and their religious iconography didn't creep you out, even though they worshipped a trickster god. This creeped you out in a way that even, like, goblin deities didn't creep you out.
Okay. Something
was off about it. Which might be revealed later on in the adventure, but not tonight, mind you.
Okay.
Because
now we have something to hunt.
or maybe the kobolds will figure it out because that's an entirely different campaign and they're higher levels.
Oh my gosh.
But that's another story entirely. So you see the sploosh and you stand there for a little bit. You might uneasily shift from one foot to the other.
Mazira is still examining the beach for clues about how the battle went.
Ulfgar would then join Mazir if he sees her out there at that point. Once he sees it land in the water, he'd be like, I'm done, and start moving off.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
And
Onka's going back into the bar after having finished the rest of the drink to try to ward off the that thing is evil kind of feeling.
Okay. So right as you all sort of say, okay, well, that's done now. I'm going to go back to doing what I was doing before. There is a rumble.
Oh, no.
Oh.
There is a big rumble. Now,
all right, I turn to face wherever I think the rumble's coming from.
You look down.
Uh-oh.
The ground is rumbling.
Again?
The sand is shifting under your feet from the rumble. Now, Eric, is there anything you'd like to share with the party? Because you're familiar with this.
It's time to have some fun.
If it's that horrible thing again, I'm going to... Oh, I don't know what I'm going to do, but it's not going to be happy or pleasant.
Actually, the ground around here shakes all the time. The locals told me it's the mountain.
The mountain makes the ground shake?
Mountain.
You'll have
volcano?
You'll have to get me... I don't know what you're talking about. Unless you're talking about the...
Yes, volcano.
Yeah, okay. Well, then... Yeah, she's quite angry today.
Why?
When you say she's angry, do you mean you're anthropomorphizing the volcano, or do you mean that the volcano is magic and or divine and it actually is angry?
The volcano throws a chancla at everyone. No.
She likes to rumble every once in a while. We haven't had any problems, but, you know, we always like to take precautions to make sure she's not...
That doesn't answer my question.
What do we do?
We wait it out.
Okay.
At that moment, buildings... the top of the mountain explodes.
Now that is new.
Whoa.
Bad.
I don't think waiting is going to be an option.
Yeah, I did not see that one coming.
And that's where we're going to end it for tonight.
Oh, my.
Thank you, everyone, for playing. Thank you, everyone, who stopped in to listen. Thank you, everyone, that listened to this after the fact. I've been joined tonight by a bunch of awesome people. We had Ellie, Eric, Eo, Jen, Millie, Cindy, and Matt with us. Plugs. Ellie runs a social network called elec.xyz. It's Mastodon compatible, and a lot of us that played the game tonight have accounts there. You should check it out.
Yes, E-L-E-K-K.
ELEKK.xyz. Eric has been streaming on Twitch. His last stream, I believe, was Diablo 3. I was in it, perhaps. So twitch.tv/untamedsin. Untamed, then S-Y-N. Eo's mom writes books. You can get those books at elizabeth-mccoy.com.
Mm-hmm.
Jen has a blog and podcast that you can read and or listen to, depending on what it is. Possibly listen to all of it if you have a chat reader, but whatever. So you can get all that stuff. There's Diablo lore and all kinds of variety stuff there at bookofjen.net.
We're big Diablo fans.
Yes.
Yep.
Tom was not able to join us this evening, but he writes books also. You can get those books at nogodsbeforeus.com. And we have a Patreon, patreon.com/cogwheelgaming. Don't expect to make a whole lot of money, but you can help us keep the lights on by throwing a buck or two our way. The server does cost money. The domain name registration costs money. And I may or may not pay a freelance writer to write blog posts every now and then. That costs money, too.
Maybe.
Just maybe.
Lily's got a thing to plug, too.
Ooh.
Well, what, me?
Yes. If you want to.
I mean, I have my account on Alec. I have, which is Magical Millie. I have my Twitch, which is also Magical Millie. It's a strangely not used username. Where I either play games or read fan fiction. And
really poorly written fan fiction.
That I look for the bad stuff on purpose. I read it so you don't have to.
exactly.
I believe the word is, it's not pronounced this way, but it is Schadenfreude.
Yes. I purposely read it with other people so we can laugh all together.
There you go.
Yeah.
All right.
Now, this is Millie's very first D&D session ever, as far as I know.
Yep.
Yay.
And you did.
Frantically messaging people being, how do you even character?
What is it? You've done well.
What is the class?
Yeah.
What is the class?
You did great.
First edition Dungeons & Dragons was very much heavy on the roll dice a lot, and you will probably die frequently, so roll up a lot of characters. Fifth edition, you can do a lot more heavy role-playing, and as you may have noticed, I appreciate when we do that. There will be combat. Oh, yes, there will be combat.
Mm-hmm.
But we'll worry about... We'll burn that bridge when we cross it. Possibly.
And we do mean burn.
And I do want to say, thank you everybody for allowing me to kind of throw my own thing in plantain in there, and you guys are participating in it. It's nice to be able to throw out some creativity out there, and everybody's playing inside of my wheelhouse. So I dig it very much.
So hey, stay last tuned session, for our... everybody put my ridiculousness and barony. So,
oh, that's fine. That is 100% valid, and I love it. And stay tuned for our next spinoff series. Yeah, the first spinoff series was the Kobold campaign, Pack Tactics. The next one will be the one that Eric is DMing, because he's already coming up with his own game world.
I am, and
Love boat.
I hope.
No, not. I think it's great, and I actually might do that. I might do my first homebrew. You never know.
I will be here for that content.
Yeah.
Yep.
All right. You will have my sword and my axe and my D20. All right. Well, until next time, have fun storming the castle, and we're not going to wait that one out.